Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you hear that music?
Hear that music?
Come to you live tonight, but I am live. I'm live right here. There's no question. You want to talk to me, you give me a call at 347-945-6713. Use your cell phone and it won't be toll free. I mean, it won't be a toll call. It is a long distance call, 347-945-6713, unless, of course, you're in the 347 area code, but I'm not 100% sure where that is. But I want to give a shout out to my buddies at the Wolfstone Bar at the Blackthorn Restaurant and Hotel out there in Paris, Virginia, a place that I've been known to stop into from time to time. In honor for the Blackthorn, how about a little Irish music? Here we go. My Irish buddy Patty still writes to hit me on the line called Patty Wop. Give us a stallion start here to the Patty.
Un certo Pasqualino pescatore viveva in assoluta.
Now.
Un certo Pasqualino pescatore viveva in assoluta povertà, però sentiva sempre in fondo al cuore qualcosa che diceva un dì verrà. E un bel dì giunse a Sorrento una principessa indiana, sopra un grosso bastimento la bellissima Cari Pasqualino.
Yeah, that's our music for tonight. I got something going on here in my Skypey. I'm not 100% sure. Really good blogging acquaintance of mine. I don't know. I'd call him my friend. I sure feel like his friend. Hey, and remember, you guys out there at the Blackthorn in the Wolfstone Pub, Norm wishes he was there coming to you live. You can always take out your cell. Give us a call here at 347-945-6713, and we'll put you on the air with Norm at night. But anyway, my internet acquaintance, Shelley Blake Plock, is doing some Skyping tonight about schooling. And schooling, you know, it plays a really big part in my life. I'm a school teacher. It's how I make my living. The Norm at Night Show sure isn't paying the bills. Of course, if you want to send me a donation to keep the show going on, you can always send it to Norm at Night, 4439 Old Tavern Road, The Plains, Virginia. It'll get to me. If you want to donate something, I will continue doing the show whether anybody listens or not. So it doesn't really make any difference. Let's see if anybody's on. Nobody's in the chat room, and I've got no callers. If anybody out there ever wants to call me on my Skype, you can dial 410-773-9941. I guess it rings in my Skype somehow. I don't know if I've ever gotten a call from anyone, but you can Skype me at 410-773-9941, and that's from any telephone, landline, cell whatsoever. That is actually acts like a landline number, but it is connected to my Skype. But anyways, Shelley Blake Plock is talking about schooling, education. He writes a great blog called Teach Paperless, which I read religiously. Sometimes I get as furious reading Teach Paperless as I do in church, listening to some of those homilies that come from the pulpit. But anyway, schooling. I don't know. I remember going to school, and I don't know how much going to school had with kind of an effect that it had on me. But I just want to read you something that was, and this is kind of long, and I'm sorry for that. But if I get some calls, I'll stop reading it right away. That's 347-945-6713, or you can go to the chat room, or you can reach me on Blogger at 410-773-9941. But please, I don't know what will happen since I'm using Blogger to put Norm at Night on the air. So if you really want to talk to me, it's 347-945-6713, or go to blogtalkradio.com/Norm at Night, and you can find me in the chat room. Let me see. I got nobody in the chat room, so it's likely I could be talking to empty air. But empty air or not, hopefully this is all going into the archive so that you'll be able to hear it online. I want you all to know I put my teeth in so that you could understand me. But there's a Latin teacher at the school I teach at who continually teases me in a good-natured but serious way about worshiping the goddess Techne and always having bent knee at her altar. And we tease. Oh, I got my California contact coming in. Hey, go ahead there, 916. You're on with Norm.
How you doing? still worshiping.
I'm doing all right. Hey, can you hear me okay? I got a new headset here that I'm trying out.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. So maybe the headset made a difference.
Yeah, I caught a little bit about you worshiping at the altar.
Yeah, Altar of Techne, the goddess of technology.
Mm-hmm.
The Latin teacher at school is continually harassing me.
Oh, my.
But now that I have a call, maybe I'll not read this rather lengthy piece.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe I'll do it later. But essentially, it's entitled A Classical Education, Back to the Future.
Hmm. And so she's a Latin teacher.
Yes, the Latin teacher harasses me about always wanting everybody to do technology and how it's rotting our brains. And we can't find our way around anymore, and our hypothalamus is shrinking because of all the GPSs people use, and we have no sense of direction, and it's all in good-natured fun.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I can see where that's... I mean, how many people have a sense of direction anyway? I mean, you know, I always, you know, people are asking, you know, what direction is south or north or what. I say, how can you not know? I can stand anywhere and know the direction. You know, it's you know where the sun is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know where you are generally on the globe. You should know these things.
Well, I guess our hypothalamus is shrinking. Anyway.
That's a primitive part of the brain anyway, isn't it? That thing's been shrinking for a long
time.
Yeah.
Well. You know, he got all worked up at me because I said, you know, you classical guys, you know, you spent all your time trying to escape this prison of the body. Now we finally can do it. And because we don't write with hammers and chisels, there's something the matter with us.
Oh, okay. Well, for that matter, I mean,
but anyway,
even
let me read some of this. And if you're out there,
paper is pretty obsolete, isn't it?
I think paper's pretty obsolete, but that's a whole nother question. But if you're out there, 347-945-6713, and you can join Carl and I here on the Norman Knight Show. This was written by a guy named Stanley Fish. It appeared in the New York Times on June the 7th, 2010. This was downloaded at 9 p.m., so it wasn't even written or read from the paper. It starts, quote, I wore my high school ring for more than 40 years. It became black and misshapen, and I finally took it off. But now I have a new one, courtesy of the organizing committee of my 55th high school reunion, which I attended over Memorial Day weekend. I wore the ring and will wear it again because although I have degrees from two Ivy League schools and have taught at UC Berkeley, Johns Hopkins, Columbia, and Duke, Classical High School in Providence, Rhode Island is the best and most demanding educational institution I've ever been associated with. The name tells the story. When I attended, offerings and requirements included 4 years of Latin, 3 years of French, 2 years of German, physics, chemistry, biology, algebra, geometry, calculus, trigonometry, history, and civics, in addition to extracurricular activities and clubs. The French club, the Latin club, the German club, and the science club, among many others. A student body made up of the children of immigrants, and this is the important part for me.
Okay.
Made up of the children of immigrants, or first-generation Americans, many like me, the first in their families to finish high school.
Yeah.
Nearly 100% college attendance rate. Mm-hmm. A yearbook that featured student translations of Virgil and original poems in Latin. Sounds downright antediluvian, outmoded, narrow, and elitist. And maybe it was, and is, because the curriculum's still there with additions like Japanese. But when I returned home, I found three new books waiting for me, each of which made sense for something like the education I received at Classical. The books are Lee A. Borton's The Core, Teaching Your Child the Foundations of Classical Education, Martha C. Nussbaum's Not for Profit, Why Democracy Needs the Humanities, and Diane Ravitch, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education. Three more different perspectives from three more different authors could hardly be imagined. Borton's rights as an engineer, a homeschooling advocate, and the CEO of Classical Conversations Incorporated. She sees learning as a continuing conversation that humankind has been engaged in for centuries, and believes that the decisions we make today will be better if they are informed by classical content. That is, by an awareness of what great thinkers of the past would have made of the problems we encounter in the present. She writes her children and she wants her children and ours to hear the collective wisdom of the ages and, quote, regularly consult the advice of wise and virtuous men and women, unquote, when faced with modern predicaments. Well, let me tell you something, Ms. Bordens. Western man, we are probably the most savage and warlike people that have ever walked the face of this earth. And let's just keep that in mind when we talk about classical antiquity. The Romans were savages. So were the Greeks. To this end, she proposes a two-pronged program of instruction. I'm back to the article now. Classical education emphasizes using the classical skills to study classical content, like gladiators, slaves, women being just crops, just baby machines. But study this stuff.
Oh, God.
By classical skills, she means imitation, memorization, drill, recitation, and above all, grammar. Yeah. Not grammar as the study of the formal structure of sentences, but grammar as the study of the formal structure of anything. Maybe the Colosseum, the aqueducts, the building of crosses to crucify people along the Appian Way.
Oh, well, you know.
Maybe we should talk about Augustus and not Spartacus. Every occupation, field of study, or concept has a vocabulary that the student must acquire like a foreign language. And that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to make out people out there that, you know, I think we shouldn't study the Romans because they were savages. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
Oh, well.
They were also very civilizing. And what we're talking about now makes sense. And we don't do this in school anymore. A basketball player... This is back to the article. A basketball player practicing the fundamentals could be considered a grammarian. as he repeatedly drills the basic skills of passing, dribbling, and shooting. Every student, Borton counsels, must learn to speak the language of the subject. And that's very true.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you can't study chemistry unless you know the terms of chemistry.
Certainly.
Another person who makes a big deal about this is a guy named James Paul G. He's just written some great books about video gaming and how to make school better. But you can't, and the other thing we don't do in school, and we need to do in school, you get told about chemistry. You don't get to do chemistry. You get told about history. You don't get to do history. If you want to learn about something, you need to do it. I just finished reading John Dewey's Democracy in Education. It's like 100 years have gone by and everybody just repeats it and nobody thinks about it anyway. Classical content, back to the article, identifies just what the subjects to be classically studied are. They are the subjects informed and structured by the ideas that make us human. Math, science, language, history, economics, and literature. Each of which, Borton insists, can be mastered by the rigorous application of the skills of the classical trivium. Grammar, the study of logic, the study of basic forms, logic, the skill of abstracting from particulars and rhetoric, the ability to speak and write persuasively and eloquently about any topic while integrating allusions and examples from one field of study to explain a point in another. Assiduously practice, or as Borton puts it, over-practice these skills, and a student is prepared to study anything. I absolutely agree with her. Although I don't hold these classical people up as these ideals. They were human. And the fact is, we're predators. We're savages. We'll do almost anything to reproduce. Well, we will.
Maybe
we lie, we cheat, we make things up. We do anything to get it wet. And we have to, because it's so damn hard to make a human baby.
Well,
it's almost an impossible task. Yet we do it billions of times every day.
Well, if it wasn't for alcohol, I think half of us wouldn't be here. But anyway.
Oh, jeez, I don't want to go. I want to go there. But anyway, I just don't want anybody to confuse the classical ideas and people. They're not saints by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Europeans are not saints by any stretch of the imagination.
Well.
We're conquerors. We're sad. I mean, we attack and kill people. We rip things asunder. Most of our history, slavery has been the accepted form of labor.
Right. I mean, we have an ability also to divorce ourselves from, the brutal reality to the ideals. And a lot of us, who was it that said that, I think it may have been Orwell, who said something about, women and children sleep at night because there are rough men in the world willing to do the dirty work, the killing and the whatever.
I'm
sure I've totally misquoted it, but, you know.
No. I mean, I think I've heard that spoken about in CIA circles, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's been used frequently. But, you know, it doesn't diminish the ideal. You know, the ideal is still there.
Well, the interesting thing, Syriana, you've seen that movie, haven't you?
Which is that?
I always mispronounce Syriana.
Oh, yeah.
The one with Clooney, the oil movie.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Every time I watch that movie, I just get fearful.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something more about what it is that makes me tick as a human being.
Right. Well,
you know what I've got downloading right now?
Hmm.
Shutter Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have you seen it? If you
haven't
seen it.
I've heard good things about it. But
it was magnificent.
I'm always a year or so behind on films, you know.
No,
I haven't seen Avatar yet either, so.
I really like that, too.
Yeah. So.
My wife loves to go to the movies, and she's figured out the only way to get me to go is to go to these movies, which she hates.
Yeah. Well,
you know what you would also really like? I don't know if you have seen it, is Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, you were telling me that it's rather dark.
It was magnificent. I actually have that one. And Shutter Island, I can't believe I just bought it from iTunes. And it's downloading to my computer. It tells me it's going to take 5 hours.
Oh, good God.
And I don't know what happens, like if it turns off or something.
Hey,
everybody. We haven't had a lot of activity. 347-945-6713. We got about 2 minutes left. And unfortunately, I have a lot of work that I haven't done that I have to go do just as soon as we're over.
Right.
But
well,
I will
just offer this you know, observation. It's a kind of general thing, but I don't make apologies for the fact that, you know, I need a military or a police force or any type of protection to ensure my civilization, my tranquility, my art, my resources, all of this, you know, it's a necessity, and we should not apologize for it. Now, if it goes to excess where we're conquering other states, that's a different story entirely. But if we're only talking about the...
Yeah, but everything we have is based on the fact that we've been conquering people for 2,000 years.
Well, we haven't. I mean, well...
Yeah, we have.
Well, I mean, we're talking about any civilization.
Well, let's just talk about the United States. You know, we claim we got a problem at our border. All these immigrants are coming in. They're just coming back to the land we stole from them.
Nah, I don't think so.
Or took from them.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Texas wasn't part of Mexico?
But these people that are coming up are the descendants of Aztecs, Mayans, and Spanish, conquistadors. They never lived up here. They have no right to this land.
We took it and threw them all out.
The Dons were in all the Dons stayed in California.
I don't know.
Yes.
You know, what if Texas wants to secede and go back? What if Mexico annexes Texas back?
Oh.
I say let them have it.
Good luck with that. So, no, I, the people who are coming up here I don't have a real problem with, you know, migrating people and that sort of thing, but, you know, it's at the point now, it's a bit extreme, you know.
Well, why can't they come? They have to be finding work. Otherwise, they would
exactly.
Be home.
So So you've got 11 to 12 million people here who are doing rather well. Apparently, they have jobs and incomes and all that. And I don't have a real problem with them, you know, going through the citizenship process, the ones that are already here. But as for allowing this free flow of human traffic across the border, it's not just a human problem, it's a crime problem as well. So it's...
Maybe. Well, you know, let's take up immigration next week, because that's
all the time we have.
It's
a complicated issue.
And I'm going to go out of here with a little bit of you-know-who.
Oh, okay.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring?
The stupid telephone
is silent like a stone.
Yes, I'm going to back to an hour next week. I forgot to extend this week.
Okay,
why does no one call?
Okay. Talk to you later.
Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea, I'm sitting in the clear, 'cause no one wants me near. How strange that everyone I spoke thought I was telling them a joke, 'cause all their phone does in the end is clearly drive them round the bend. But I dare not pass my door,